access without condemnation to our Father who loves you so much. He chose you in Christ before the foundations of this very earth. Oh, listen, we have continual, ongoing acceptance because we're in Christ.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Hello and happy Friday. We want to thank you for tuning in to Love Never Fails. On the program today, Pastor Bill continues his study in the Epistle of Ephesians. Pastor has titled this next message, For This Reason. Now, Pastor Bill.
Now listen carefully. Those that are across the land right now and every Calvary Chapel family member, listen carefully. You may be saying in your heart, well, Bill, I was hoping maybe that you would be bringing a different message this morning because I really need something a little different than being in Ephesians. No, listen to me. You need this word this morning. And what we're going to do, we're going to go through the first 13 verses, and then I'm going to make an application at the end of the message, which is a today word in the midst of this coronavirus that you need to hear, that you need to apply, and it will help you. It'll help all of us. So stay tuned in, and we're going to go through these verses together. But when we arrive now, as we do in chapter 3, verse 1, we've arrived at the last doctrinal section in this great epistle called Ephesians. We begin next time, or whenever the Lord wills, there in chapter 4, we're going to learn then to walk out our position that we have learned in these three chapters. We're going to learn how to walk worthy of our calling, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And with all that being said, remember that Paul now, he's writing from Rome. He is in a prison cell. He is writing to the church at Ephesus, the Ephesians, which are Gentiles. But this epistle is also to all the churches as well. And so we learned last time that the church is one new man. Last Sunday, one body, we're one family. We exist on one foundation, which is Christ Jesus our Lord. And we are one building and we are one temple. We are all filled with the Spirit of the living God. And now in this chapter or section, these 13 verses, we're going to learn that the church is something else. The church is a mystery. And the mystery, of course, has already been revealed, where Jew and Gentile, created in Christ Jesus, now become one new man that has never, ever existed before. And I want you to note something this morning in our text. Look at verse 1 in chapter 3, and you'll see that Paul starts out with, for this reason. Everyone say that at home with me right now. For this reason. Now drop down to verse 14. And you'll see where Paul begins his prayer, it says, for this reason. Now, that is very important that we pick that up. Here's what happened. Paul, in verse 1, he's just about to pray. In verse 14, he does start praying. But the Holy Spirit of God moved upon Paul not to move into his prayer, but to reemphasize the truths that we learned last Sunday, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11 through 22. And he's telling the Ephesians, no, wait a minute. God wants you to re-examine all this one more time about who you are in Christ Jesus. So he's pausing his prayer. And when he does, Paul does something. He now digresses to talk about the mystery, which is Jew and Gentile now becoming one body, one new man, in Christ Jesus. Verses 2 through 7, man, it's just one long sentence, if you will, in the Greek. So Paul starts off, let's begin this morning, and we're going to go through these verses, then we're going to make application. Paul writes, he says, for this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for you Gentiles. Now listen, Paul says, I'm a prisoner. I'm in Rome. I am separated from the churches I love, and from those that he loved as well. Now listen, I know that you probably feel right this minute that this wicked, evil, dark coronavirus. Loved one, I know you feel it has disconnected you from Calvary, but you're not disconnected from Calvary. Nothing can disconnect us from one another. We are the body of Christ. Someone sent an email or text, I can't remember, I think it was sent to my wife and she shared it with me. Let me read it to you. It says, with church doors shutting across America, it is time for us to show that the church has never been about a building. Amen. What a great word. Listen, this is just a building. God didn't save a building. He saved you. We're the church, the living temple of the Spirit of the living God. Now, why in the world was Paul in prison? We know he wasn't there because he was a murderer or an embezzler or a thief or any of those things. It says here that Paul, he says, a prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, or not because of you, but for the sake of you, on behalf of you, Paul writes. So he's saying, listen, let me tell you why I'm in jail, why I'm in prison. It's because I came and I preached the truth to you, the Gentiles, who were foreigners and without citizenship and strangers to the covenants of God, who were outside of God, if you will, and who were, of course, to the Jew, they were considered dogs. And Paul the Apostle started preaching the grace of the gospel, the good news of the gospel, that God was no respecter of persons and that he saved not only Jews, he saved Gentiles, he'll save anyone. And man, the Jews exploded in anger, took Paul to the court. He fled, appealed to Caesar, as you already know, went to Rome, and he is in prison right now. But Paul the Apostle said this. Now listen, he says, I'm a prisoner of Christ. I'm not a prisoner of Rome. I'm not a prisoner of anyone, Jew, Gentile, or anything. I'm only a prisoner of the Lord. Let me ask you a question. This has been a long, tiring week. It's been a long, tiring week for all the workers here at the office, the church offices, as we've been preparing what to do and not to do, and how we're trying to figure out for the days that lie ahead and preparing for that, which I'm very thankful that we've worked hard and we have a pretty good plan. But with all that being said, you know, is your outlook right now like Paul's outlook? I mean, listen, Paul says, you know what? My life is not in the hands of Rome. My life is in the hands of the living God, in the hands of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Loved one, your name, you've been inscribed on the very hand of Almighty God. So is your outlook like Paul's? In other words, your mindset, let's let our mindset, in the midst of this corona junk, let's let our mindset be like Paul's mindset, no matter where he was or what was happening in his life. And here's the verse I want you to cling to. It says in Romans 8:28, Paul says, for we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Listen, do you believe that scripture? Paul said this, we know. That means we know beyond a shadow of a doubt. We know with a certainty because our God cannot lie. Everything's working out. Everything, all these things are working together for good. Now, loved one, listen. That promise, Romans 8:28, is not to everyone, but to those who love God, to those who are called according to the purpose of God. And let me say something else. Paul, God's word, did not say that all things are good. The coronavirus is not good. The things that are happening in Italy and in Germany and Spain and America and China and across our land and across the world, they're not good, loved one. But Paul said in the midst of all that, God is working good toward us. He's working the good, all things work together. Whatever they are in our lives, they're working together for good. And church, listen, we are a family, Calvary. You know that and I know that. And you may be saying, well, Bill, you know what? We may be a family, but I feel like we're disconnected. No, we're not. We can never be separated. We are one. We can never be disconnected because we're in one body, the body of Christ. Now, verse 1 is absolutely vital this morning. And Paul says, for this reason, we have to ask ourselves, okay, Paul, what reason are you talking about? What was the reason that Paul digressed, if you will, and didn't immediately go into the prayer, which starts in verse 14? Now, some of you may say, well, Bill, because when he says for this reason, it goes back to chapter 2, verses 11 through 22, what we covered on Sunday. I won't fault you for that, and that is a good student of the Word of God. However, I do not agree with that at all. Verse 1 is not connected to what preceded it in verse 22 of chapter 2. Verse 13 is what verse 1 is connected to, and I want you to go there and look at the reason for Paul's digression. He says in verse 13, therefore. Therefore takes us back to verse 1 for this reason. He says, therefore, I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is for your glory, or my tribulations are of value toward you. Now listen, Paul is isolated. He's in prison. He's isolated from family, those that he loves, but he's not disconnected. And here's what's so awesome now. In all that Paul is facing, what did Paul do? Let's put it this way, sheltering in place, shut in place. What did Paul do with his time? I saw a deal on Google News about, with the coronavirus, here's what you need to do. Let me just read two of them. What movies to watch during your coronavirus quarantine? Okay. Have a coronavirus movie binge. Well, listen, I hope you're not doing that. I know, Mom, if you're shut in and you've got three kids and you got 15 Disney movies, I don't fault you at all. I like Bambi. You could put that on for me. I like all those movies, you know, Lady and the Tramp. Those are great movies, you know. I don't know the old ones because I don't go to the movies anymore, or the new ones. Ha ha. Everybody's laughing in this empty sanctuary. You should hear that sound. It's amazing. Now, but here's the deal. You know, what are you doing with your time? What did Paul do with his time? He's in prison, and what did he do? He wrote some of the greatest epistles that we have, the prison epistles. Loved one, Paul writing there, Colossians, Philippians, Philemon, and the epistle that has been called the greatest piece of writing in the history of all the history of the world, and that is Ephesians. Listen, what are you doing? What are you doing with your time if you can't leave? Man, listen, we need to be people that are holding on right now to the one that holds on to us. You know, Paul says, for what reason there? You know, what was he saying in verse 13 to the Ephesians and to us as well? Paul, the apostle, said this. He says, listen, yeah, I'm in prison. He says, I don't want to be a stumbling block to you. Do you think that the Ephesians, as well as the way we are today, that the Ephesians said, oh, if God really loved Paul, why would he be in prison right now? All those things that are crazy. Why is this happening to me? No, listen, Paul has a pastor's heart, man. He says, I don't want you thinking about me. Pray for me, yes. Think about me. Listen, I don't want you to think about my chains. I don't want you to think about any of those things. I want you, the reason for Paul's digression, you get back into the Word. I'm going to tell you again who you are, because that is exactly what you need during this time. I don't want you looking at my chains. And when he says, don't lose heart, what a word for us. Don't faint. Don't give up. Don't become discouraged. Don't let weakness overtake you. He says, oh no, I don't want any of those things to happen to you. And that, loved one, is a timely, very timely word for us today during what we're going through. Don't faint. And I'm going to talk about that at the end of the sermon here. Don't faint. Don't you dare give up. Don't let discouragement come upon you. And don't let the kids or you or mom or dad, any of you, listen, don't say, woe is me, or why in the world is this happening to me? But Bill, I miss not being at Calvary. I miss you not being at Calvary. As I told the early service, I can look out here on these empty seats and I can picture your faces where you sit, because you sit in the same place all the time. Angela and Eric sit back there. Billy and her kid, Will and Kathy, they sit right there. Way back there is Audrey. I mean, I can see your face. Mark is right over there. Mario and then right there. You know, sometimes Tom and whatever her name, Valerie. If you're listening, I'm teasing with you. Said, come on, I miss you. Ernie is always over there. I always hear him. He goes, yes. Isn't that right, Ernie? He does. I'll say, he'll go, yes. What an encouragement. I miss your yeses. I miss your amens. But loved one, listen to me right now. We're not disconnected. We're not disconnected from each other. And we can never be disconnected from each other because we are one body. We are one in the Spirit. Remember that song? We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the... Remember that one? That's who we are. Oh, loved one, listen. Stand strong. God is greater than the coronavirus. Pastor Jack Graham, I wrote it down. He said the other day, he said, don't worry. He said, prayer and Purell. I think it's Purell. I don't know. It's a hand sanitizer. I don't know what it is, but that's a pretty good word. Listen, go to verse 2. We're going to cover these verses, then we're going to come back and make a very important application from these scriptures. Verse 2, if indeed, Paul says, now you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which has been given to me for you, meaning they had heard about it. Paul just talked about it in chapter 2. Now the word dispensation, it just means stewardship. Paul says, I am a steward over something that doesn't belong to me, that belongs to someone else, meaning God, and it was given unto me, meaning the grace of God that I'm giving out to you. It was entrusted unto me, to the Gentiles. Now, it was given to Paul, remember, on the Damascus Road, when Jesus himself saved Paul in Acts chapter 9, verse 15, he was called to be an apostle to the Gentiles. And he says, and how that by revelation, not man's revelation or wisdom, but God, how that by revelation God made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, that was chapter 2, by which you... When you read, you may understand my knowledge or my insight in the mystery of Christ. Now, remember what a mystery is. It's a divine truth long hid, but now manifested by God. It can never be understood with human wisdom. It has to be revealed by God. And that's what has happened here. He says, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, or literally, wasn't made known to mankind, wasn't made known to the Jew, the Gentile, or anyone else. As it has now, present tense, Paul writes, been revealed or literally uncovered, and look how it was, how it happened, by the Spirit to his holy apostles and his holy prophets, meaning only New Testament prophets and New Testament apostles, not any person before and certainly no one after. Now, the mystery that Paul is speaking of, that he's in prison for, was not revealed in the Old Testament at all. Romans 16:25 says, the mystery kept secret since the world began, meaning Jew and Gentile becoming one new man in Christ Jesus. Now, Colossians 1:26, the mystery, which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. So the church age was never seen by the Old Testament saints of God, the prophets of God, at all. The Jews, they weren't waiting. The Jews were waiting on the promised Messiah who would come and set up his kingdom. They weren't looking for the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. So what is the mystery? Verse 6. That the Gentiles should be, and the word should be, should literally be translated are. So let's read it that way. That the Gentiles are fellow heirs of the same body, or fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel. So the mystery about these Gentiles is not that they knew they were going to be saved. They had no clue as to how they were going to be saved, because the Old Testament taught that the Gentiles would come to God. Let me give you the scriptures. In Isaiah 11:10, it says, and in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, we know that to be Jesus our Lord, the Messiah, who shall stand as a banner to the people, for the Gentiles shall seek him. Isaiah 60, verse 3, it says, the Gentiles shall come to his light. So this mystery, the Jew, the Gentile, becoming one in Christ Jesus, which was over the top for all the Jewish people, this incredible mystery, secret, it was foretold but not explained by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In Matthew 16:18, he says, I will build my church, the gates of hell will not prevail. But he didn't expound upon what that church consisted of, even though earlier he talked about, I have a flock which is not of your own that will come in. Now, But it was explained to Paul the apostle and given unto him. Look at verse 7. It says, of which I became, Paul says, a minister, or the word there is diakonos, which means a servant, a table waiter, if you will, a servant according to the grace, the gift of grace of God given to me by the effecting working of his power. So Paul says, I'm a servant of the good news, and I serve the good news out to others, not in my own power, but in the power of the living God. And he says, to me, who am less than the least of all the saints, he says, this grace was given. This grace was given like a deposit, if you will, that I should preach or literally announce the good news among the Gentiles, those that are outside of Christ, those that are outside of the covenant of Israel, the Gentiles, the unsearchable riches of Christ. The unsearchable riches of Christ, literally, meaning untraceable. They're so deep, they're so profound, loved one, that your mind, my mind, we cannot fully comprehend it. So these unsearchable riches of Christ is the entire, all that Christ is, all that pertains to our salvation. Man, if we would only understand the greatness of our position. We are in Christ, the unsearchable riches of Christ. And you know what? The Bible says, in him we are now complete. Nothing else. We don't need anything else. Our salvation is done. Everything is taken care of. The reason that his riches are unsearchable is because we're in the one who did everything for us. It says, thanks be unto God, our Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies. How? In Christ Jesus our Lord. All these incredible riches. So this gift of grace is what transformed your life. It's what transformed my life. It's what turned Saul, the persecutor of the church, into Paul, the one who gave his life for Christ Jesus. And not only that, wrote 13, maybe 14 books of the New Testament. There's only 27 books in the New Testament. He was the hardest working apostle more than anybody else. He planted more churches. He was in more persecution than anybody else, any other of the apostles, and so forth. And he says, and to make all see, everybody see the light, if you will, to make all see, Jew, Gentile, everyone, what is the fellowship, and that word means not fellowship like with one another, the word literally is stewardship again. So to make what is the stewardship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, the church. Hidden in God from the world from the very beginning. That's who we are. Think about that. We are his body, the church. Now look at the purpose of the mystery. To the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God, the incredible many-sided variety of the wisdom of God, might be made known. Are you ready for this? Look at it. I pray your Bibles are open. Made by the church. That's you. And look at the recipients to whom this is for, that the wisdom of God might be made known by the church to whom? To the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. Loved one, that's angels. That's angels. Think about that for a minute. While Jesus continues to build his church, as one scholar writes, he said, the church becomes the university for angels. Amazing. The principalities and the powers in the heavenly places, they learn something by observing you, the church of the living God. What does that mean? Well, only by the church and no one else can the angels, when they look at you, they are able to understand a little bit about the incredible manifold grace of God and the manifold wisdom of God, which means this, angels are watching the church.
Pastor Bill will conclude today's message on our Monday program, and we invite you to tune in once again. Thanks everyone for listening to Love Never Fails. May the Lord bless you with a wonderful weekend, and we'll see you on Monday. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.